T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And away we go, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in the Tuesday morning edition of the Rob Brown Show is live. Good to have you guys. Happy Tuesday. Hope that your week got off to a fantastic start with a solid Monday. Hope that you're ready to rock and roll today, because we have got a big time show lined up for you this AM. We are going to be speaking, if you have not heard, coming up here in 44-ish minutes from right now, with the head coach of the University of South Carolina football program, Shane Beamer, is going to join us on the show. Had the opportunity the last couple of days to speak with the SID folks over there in Columbia. They said, yeah, Coach Beamer be happy to come on. So we will get Shane Beamer with us here in about 44 minutes. And there's plenty of other stuff we need to get to on the radio broadcast today. Clemson's football schedule has been released. We're going to take a look at that coming up here in just a little while from right now. We'll talk about some of the most interesting games on the docket. We'll talk about the most difficult stretch laying ahead in the 2023 program for Clemson. That's coming up later.
Clemson, difficult schedule. That's funny. I can't wait.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the great one, Lonzo Reitzel, to the program.
How can you spin it in a way to make it look like the ACC is tough?
September 23rd, FSU versus Clemson. I want you to circle that on the calendar now. Here's why. It's like week 3 or 4. It is early. The last time FSU beat Clemson was a September game, not late in the season. And while the ACC will not have divisions this year, remember, they have made the divisions defunct. That's why alliteration's dangerous, man.
They made division decisions that there are no more divisions.
Alliteration is a radio sports talk show host worst enemy.
The ACC is just one big melting pot now.
ACC is admirably acceptable.
What?
Watch that September 23rd game, FSU at Clemson. You go ahead and bet your bottom dollar that Rob Brown will be in Death Valley that day. That one may very well be a preview of your ACC championship game.
There you go, Clemson ain't afraid. No, Florida State, cocaine's on the job, and we're going to win every single ACC game and win the national championship. Go, Clemson. Woo! Woo! Whoa!
Need a name for that character. Clemson Zoe isn't good enough. Zoe Hauser?
It has to have a Clemson on the front of it.
We'll see. We'll come up with a name for that character.
Clemson Zoe, Clemson Tom, Clemson it's, Bob.
It's iconic, is what it is.
Clemson Billy.
So we'll talk Clemson's football schedule coming up in the next segment. Then Shane Beamer to wrap up this hour. 10 o'clock hour, Tom Brady did another podcast and spent some time talking about officiating in the league after the AFC Championship game. We'll talk about his comments because I think they're very interesting. We will also talk Clemson basketball later in the show. They are on the road tonight at Boston College. Clemson is looking for style points. They got the dirty down in the mud points last Saturday against FSU. Now you've got to go into the house of another inferior opponent and get better. and get better. So we'll talk about that coming up towards the end of the radio broadcast as well. Andy Reid has some comments from his presser yesterday. But before we get to any of that, I have something that I found this morning. Did not catch this yesterday. Found it this morning. Lonzo, I'm going to go to clip number 5 here, if you don't mind. You know, it is not uncommon for politicians, specifically congressmen, to get involved with sports, to smack talk a little bit, right? For instance, the mayor of Cincinnati decided to throw his hat in the ring when he addressed Arrowhead as Burrowhead. His name is Aftab Perival. He is the mayor of Cincinnati. He referred to Arrowhead, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs, as Burrowhead Stadium.
That worked out really well for him.
It did not work out well at all because the Bengals went in.
Jabroni.
And fell. Funny you should say that, Lonzo, because what I'm about to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, is a warning. Smack talk in sports, it's fun. It's great. It's something that you should want to participate in. However, it comes with an inherent danger. And the inherent danger of jumping in on the sports smack talk is that something will get stuck to you for a very, very, very long time. Yesterday, on the floor of Congress in Washington, D.C., Missouri Representative Mark Alford took to the podium, and he said this.
Mr. Speaker, today I rise to honor my Kansas City Chiefs for their AFC championship and their berth in Super Bowl 57. Like many Missourians, I could not be prouder of the effort put forth on the field yesterday, last night. Despite having an injured Patrick Mahomes, injuries to several key players, incredible amounts of outside noise, and the referees against them the entire game, the Chiefs made short work of the Bengals, and sent them off to the offseason. While I hope Eli Apple has fun in Cancun, I also hope that Mayor Jabroni and the rest of the Cincinnati fan base learned a valuable lesson last night. It is called Arrowhead. It is the loudest, toughest place to play in the NFL with the strongest fan base. A special thank you to Patrick Mahomes, Harrison Butker, Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, and of course, Joseph Asai for all their wonderful efforts last night. We couldn't have done it without you. And to the Philadelphia Eagles, we'll see you in Arizona. Go Chiefs! Mr. Speaker, I yield back.
Thank you, Mr. Alford. Pursuant to Clause 12A of Rule
1. Nobody cares about that. Who wants pursuant to Rule 2, Clause A, when you caught the absolute smoke right in the middle of that? If you didn't catch the best part of that, will you throw 5A? Because I clipped the only part of that that matters. Now, listen. The referees were against the Chiefs. Hilarious. Thanks to the Bengals, especially Osei. Hilarious. But the best part of that smoke was right in the middle.
Well, I hope Eli Apple has fun in Cancun. I also hope that Mayor Jabroni and the rest of the Cincinnati fan base learned a valuable lesson last night. It is called Arrowhead.
Mayor Jabroni, it matters not what Aftab Perival does for the rest of his time in office. He could go down as the greatest mayor in the history of Cincinnati. He could go down as the greatest mayor in the history of Ohio. He could go down as the greatest mayor in the history of the United States of America. He could go down as the greatest mayor in the history of human civilization. And the only thing that I will ever remember about Aftab Perival is that he shall forever be called, Lonzo, Mayor Jabroni. That's it. That's the danger of smack talk. If Cincinnati goes into Arrowhead and claims it again, and the Burrowhead moniker sticks, Aftab Perival is going to have an Aftab Perival forever making it Burrowhead. But The flip side to that coin is Travis Kelce got him the smoke, and probably for the first time that Aftab Perival, mayor of Cincinnati, got mentioned on the floor in the House of Representatives in the United States Congress. He will forever be known in the records of the history of the United States as Mayor Jabroni.
Now, the question is, I don't know how far they're going to go with this, but next time the Mayor Jabroni does a press conference in Cincinnati, are we going to hear some chants of Jabroni out in the audience?
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank all of you for coming today. It has taken quite a lot of work from a lot of different people to accomplish this incredible goal that we have accomplished here in downtown Cincinnati. We feel like this project, a passion project for the people that have worked on it, they have done an incredible job. And now, here to cut the ribbon and open this tremendous facility to the people of Cincinnati is Mayor Perival. That dude, for the rest of whatever the history of the United States of America would be, will always have Mayor Jabroni as his name in the archives of freaking Congress. That's incredible.
I'm looking to see if there's if there are Kansas City Jabroni shirts yet.
Gotta be, right?
There is. Know your role and shut your mouth. I don't know if they can get away with that, though.
Mayor.
Because that's gotta be copyright.
By the way, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, shouted out Travis Kelce yesterday because if you'll remember, Kelce said some words for Mayor Jabroni, know your role and shut your mouth. And The Rock said, I appreciate the much more venomous yo instead of the more formal your. Know your role, shut your mouth. And The Rock said he dropped the bomb on him the very next day. He is recorded for all time as Mayor Jabroni in the halls of Congress. You know, it's one thing. So when I was in middle school,
probably the most important thing they did in Congress, probably the only thing they got done that day was that, more than likely.
It's a great thing to get done. When I was in middle school, eighth grade, Meg's Middle School, starting big man for the Meg's Wildcats. And
what were your colors?
Black and gold. Okay. True gold.
There we go.
Black and true gold. Starting big man, wearing number 00. I was making my way down the court against Bruner Middle School. Why does Rob Brown remember this? Hang in there. You'll get it. Got a rebound, turned around, gave a bounce pass at half court to my best friend, Drew Holt. As I turn to make my way down the floor, I either hit a pile of sweat or something and wiped out hard. At the end of the game, our coach walked over and said, hey, Goofy, you all right? Because I was hurting. And for about 6 years, the last year of middle school, the next four of high school, and for a little while after graduation, everybody on the basketball team referred to me as Goofy. Thanks to our coach. Now, I have that as a core memory, putting up with people calling me that for 5 more years of my life. But then I moved on.
You know what you should have said? You should have said, gosh, coach, I'll do it all right.
What I said was, I'm fine, don't call me that. And then, of course, everybody called me that for the rest of my basketball career. It did not die until I went to college. When I got to college, I got new nicknames, and that one, for the most part, died off. Mayor Jabroni is recorded in the National Bleeping archives. See, 5 years of, ha ha ha, how you doing, goofy? Because I slipped and fell in a basketball game in eighth grade against Bruner Middle School. It eventually went away. And then Rob got to college where he got new nicknames like Rob Brown when I started going by both of my names as one name. Or X because I was actually a pretty good intramural flag football player who put up the X when I scored. But my none of those names are recorded the National Damn Archives forever.
I agree with all that. Did you give yourself the X nickname?
No, I did not. I just put that up.
But did you do that because you wanted people to call you X?
No, I did that because my first year in our fraternity playing flag ball, I was pretty good. And we made T-shirts as jerseys that on the front had the fraternity crest with our slogan, win or lose, we still booze.
Wow. There's a shocker right there.
Yep.
That's the fraternity Rob went to.
Win or lose, we still booze. And we had these shirts made by our, it was co-ed football. We had the shirts made by the sorority in charge. And the girl who made the shirt, her name was Abby. She was a doll. I will never forget her because while most of the frat bros caught their ha-ha nicknames on the back, she just put X on the back of mine. So that's what I got glossed with. And I'll live with that. I accept that. What I would not accept is a congressman putting me down in the national records as Mayor Jabroni until whenever history erases it.
So that thing that men don't celebrate, wrestling, is not only celebrated by noted not man Travis Kelce, but now Congress.
The word jabroni is now recorded in the halls of Congress and as a dude's nickname. Sorry, Mayor Perival. No one will ever call you that again. You are forever Mayor Jabroni. So let this be a lesson to all you youngsters out there. Listen to Uncle Rob. Recognize that if you inject yourself into a battle of the smacketh, there is a chance it will backfire on you and you will stay glossed forever. Enjoy your life, Mayor Jabroni.
Can you imagine if he runs for re-election? If you're the person running against him, you've got to, the signs.
Oh, yeah.
All the Jabroni signs. You've got to come with that.
Elect not Mayor Jabroni. All right. Texter says,
Who you want running your town? That Jabroni?
Or a guy who didn't get himself marked Mayor Jabroni? Which one are you picking? All right. Texter says, hey, Rob Brown, a.k.a. Goofy, a.k.a. X gonna give it to you, a.k.a. Tinky Winky, a.k.a. Liberob, a.k.a. Cocky Rob, ... move on. Well, I'm sorry you hate fun, Texter, but I'll go ahead and move on. Let's take a break.
Wow, you put a lot of effort into that. That'd take you at least the length of the segment to type that out, right, Texter?
I ain't mad about it. All right. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, we will take a look up and down Clemson's 2023 football schedule. We'll talk about some of the intriguing games. We'll talk about the toughest three or four game stretch in there, and we'll talk about how it sets Clemson up for the first year in the Atlantic Coast Conference without divisions. What does that mean for the schedule? Then, coming up at around 9:45, Shane Beamer, head coach of the Gamecocks of University of South Carolina's football team, going to join us here on the Rob Brown Show. I have got some questions from you guys. I've got some of my own. Lonzo's got some as well. We'll fit in as many as we can with Shane Beamer at the end of the hour. The Rob Brown Show is in your ear holes. This is the Fan Upstate.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate, ladies and gentlemen. The ACC has dropped their 2023 football schedule. And therefore, we know Clemson's now. They will open on September 4th at Duke. 5 days later, they are home for Charleston Southern. How about an ACC game out of the gate for the Tigers?
Wow, powerhouse Duke.
At Duke. Big, big one there for Clemson.
Clemson's obviously going to be the underdog.
At Duke, opening ACC play out of the gate, September 9th against Charleston Southern. Then September 16th, 7 days later, they have got FAU, Florida Atlantic, coming to the house. Then it gets kind of interesting. Why? Because game number four, September 23rd, Clemson welcomes FSU to the house. Clemson welcomes the Florida State Seminoles to Death Valley for the first time in 2 years. Remember, the year before last, the 2021 season, FSU came to Clemson and had Clemson up on the ropes. It took a couple of late heroic efforts to kind of break that game back in Clemson's favor.
Yeah, but Rob, you know, that was because coaching was making a mistake. And Cade wasn't playing.
This was 2 years ago.
Obviously.
Still should have played Cade.
Still Cade.
Still should have played
still
Cade.
Still Cade.
Yeah. No, it took Will Shipley having a big day.
I apologize. He's talking Clemson and I phased out. And you know, and I did that live on the air. And, I apologize.
Will Shipley had a couple of big, big moments in that game late for Clemson to pull off the win at Florida State. I was at that game live, and Clemson had to gut that one out. Florida State, obviously, this year could not get to Clemson, but this is the same FSU team that turned in a 10-win season for the first time in a very long time. It is also an FSU team that, depending on who you look at and what metric you look at, may have had the best transfer haul in the entire NCAA and had a top 20 recruiting class in the process. that will have an impact this year as well. Jordan Travis. Florida State fans believe that Jordan Travis will put down a Heisman caliber campaign this year. I'm not quite ready to go that far for FSU. I will say they're going to be a much better football program this year. And I will say that I think if there is a threat to Los Tigres in the Atlantic Coast Conference, it is the Seminoles of Florida State. So to get that game underway in September is very interesting for two reasons. Number one, and I can't prove this, but it does feel to me a little bit like maybe this is the ACC kind of protecting what might be an ACC championship preview. Remember, there are no divisions in the ACC moving forward. It will be the best two teams that go to the ACC title game. There is a very good chance that those two best teams are Clemson and Florida State. So by putting them early in the year, it does two things. Number one, it lets those two teams get it out of the way early, familiarize themselves, and the losing team have plenty of time to put it together before the end of the season. And then segment number two, or idea number two, thought number two, is it allows whatever team loses, a pair of teams that I very much suspect, will be both ranked inside of probably the top 15, maybe the top 10 when they play each other in that game. It will allow one of those teams plenty of time to get themselves right, hop back up on the rankings board in order to be in a better spot if and when they play each other in December in an ACC title game. It's really not a terrible plan. Florida State, however, does open with a very tough game down in Orlando, another neutral site game. Remember, last year they opened with LSU in New Orleans, an LSU home field advantage. FSU fans very excited. LSU does travel very well. But the next game between these two will open week one, September 3rd, FSU-LSU down in Orlando. Florida State then catches Southern Miss the next week for the home opener. The week before Clemson, they are at Boston College. And then that September 23rd game is going to be in Death Valley. That game's very interesting. After FSU, they catch a seven-day break. Do the Clemson Tigers, then at Syracuse, October 7th, back home for Wake Forest before they catch their off date in the middle of October on the 14th. Then they have what I find to be another couple of interesting back-to-back games. They are both home games. The first one's an away game, then they catch a home game, October 21st at Miami, then November 4th against Notre Dame. That is an interesting couple of back-to-back. Miami this year was, shockingly, not back. They were not back this year, but they had a good recruiting class. Obviously, NIL is a major factor right now at the University of Miami based on that Jaden Rashada story we've been tracking for the past couple of weeks. So they're at Miami October 21st, then back home November 4th for Notre Dame. This is a Notre Dame team that wrapped up their season strong, that got much better as the season went on, that has now given Marcus Freeman a full year on the job to earn XP. It is a Notre Dame team that knocked off South Carolina in the bowl game. Granted, it's the bowl game. A lot of guys missing. We know that those bowl games aren't accurate depictions of what the season was. More importantly, they are a snapshot of what the future will be. If that is the case, Notre Dame's future took a big bump in the right direction by knocking off SC in the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. They wrap up the season November 11th against Georgia Tech, November 18th against North Carolina, and then, of course, as always, Thanksgiving weekend, November 25th, they are on the road in Columbia to take on South Carolina. I will give you the stretches that are interesting to me. September 23rd against Florida State, followed up the next week at Syracuse. That's an interesting two-game stretch to me. They are at home for the other best team in the ACC, probably, in Florida State. And then on the road at an upstart Syracuse team. Remember, a Syracuse team that has given Clemson hell the last couple of times they've lined up. Then they've got Wake open date, and then a two-game stretch at Miami on the 21st, and then back home for Notre Dame on November 4th. That two-game stretch could be very, very interesting to me as well. As we mentioned a minute ago, Miami was not back, but the recruiting is good. The NIL money has clearly helped in that direction. They have got Mario Cristobal, who is got a lot of hype behind him. I still don't know that I'm fully buying in. The Oregon folks are still trying to sell me on Cristobal being the dude. I don't know that I'm quite all in for Miami yet, but I do think that going to Miami, if the Miami Hurricanes have a good opening to the season, Miami game could be very interesting at all. The Miami schedule leading up to Clemson is opening at home against Miami of Ohio, September 9th. They are at home for Texas A&M. Then they catch Bethune-Cookman and Temple before they take the bye the last Saturday of September. They've got Georgia Tech at home October 7th, the next week at North Carolina, and then it's back home for Clemson. So they catch bye, Tech, UNC going into that Clemson game. The only real competition on the schedule for Miami before they line up against Clemson is maybe, question mark, a last year 5-7 Texas A&M team. That, by the way, has hemorrhaged talent, right? It's one thing to have NIL money. It's another thing to try to sell a guy on. You can make NIL money, but you got to go 5-7 to do it. They've lost a lot of talent out of Aggieland. So I don't think that's the same A&M team that a lot of folks thought they were going to be last year and going into this year. Florida State has the LSU game that could beat them up, but they got a couple of weeks after that. Clemson doesn't really have any big names on the docket before the FSU game either. Miami, however, it is off the bye week for Clemson, so that's the good news. But you got to go down to Coral Gables. And you got to go down to Coral Gables to take on a Miami team that is trying to prove that the first year under Mario Cristobal was a transition year, not what we can expect out of the Canes moving forward. The big red circles for me, aside FSU, are Notre Dame and then taking on South Carolina the week after UNC. UNC's not a powerhouse, all right? They look better this year under Drake May. But they are not a powerhouse yet. I do think they'll be better this year. So catching a Tech team that Clemson beat the hell out of last year, yes, but it was very early in the season, remember. Catching Tech, who kind of throws you out of your normal rhythm, right? Because of their wonky offense, even without Jeff Sims there, you're not going to be able to spend time practicing your base O&D. You're going to have to practice to beat Georgia Tech. Then you got North Carolina team the next week. Then you're at South Carolina. So I think FSU is interesting. I think at Miami followed by Notre Dame is interesting. And then I think Tech, UNC, South Carolina all in a row is interesting, especially having to go to the Cola. The good news is, as we mentioned, Georgia Tech and North Carolina are both at home before you head to USC to wrap up the season. That's kind of the direction that I'm looking at right now. Clemson's an 11-win football team next year, all right? The only question is, can they get 12? The trip-ups are FSU, Notre Dame, South Carolina. Those are the three teams that could trip up Clemson. I think if they win two of those, out of those three, you end as an 11-win football team, and you are in the mix for the playoffs, but you'll need some help. You win all three of those, you're undefeated, you're going back to the playoffs. You got the ACC title game thrown in there as well. Without divisions, you are going to catch the second best team in the ACC. I do suspect that will be a second crack at FSU. You may have to beat them twice, but we'll find out. Let's take a break. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back here in just a few minutes, Shane Beamer is the head coach of the University of South Carolina Gamecock football program. They have recently hired their new offensive coordinator in Dow Loggins. We'll ask about that. They obviously have been putting in work when it comes to in-state recruiting. We'll talk about that. Nicholas Harbor, the entire staff, went and had a last visit with Nicholas Harbor last week, waiting to see if that five-star might sign on the dotted line for the Gamecocks tomorrow. We'll ask how the last visit went, and a couple of other questions for Shane Beamer. Head coach of the Gamecocks joins us next on the show. My name is Rob Brown. The great one Lonzo's on the board. You're listening to the Rob Brown Show. You're listening to the Fan Upstate.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
The Rob Brown Show is back on your radio. This is the Fan Upstate. Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, welcome in. Glad to have you. And now we are very pleased and honored to welcome in the head coach of the University of South Carolina football team, Shane Beamer, joins us here on the Rob Brown Show. Coach, we appreciate it, man. Great to have you on the show, big dog.
Great to be on. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, man. I know you guys are wild busy as we get ready for signing day, making some trips. How's everything going on that front?
Everything's been good. Busy month of January for sure. Trying to solidify our roster as we go into spring practice and then finish up on the road recruiting. We've been gone traveling for the last 2.5 weeks and finally off the road this week and doing everything by phone. And a lot happening leading into tomorrow with signing day, and then certainly our current team as well. It's great to be back in Columbia and be able to be fully, you know, immersed with those guys also.
Love to hear, Coach. And obviously, listen, I don't want the inside info, not asking to twist any arms, but I've only been asked, and I'm sure you have too, about 1,000 times about your conversations with one of the big names we're still waiting to fall, Nicholas Harbor. Seems to me like you guys have had some great conversations with him and other guys that we're starting to see you really make roads with outside of the region, outside of the upstate, outside of South Carolina. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you guys have really seemed to gain some momentum in terms of expanding what has traditionally been South Carolina's recruitment front?
Yeah, we certainly want to start always in the state of South Carolina, and we did a great job of that in the class of 2023 with, you know, great players from the state of South Carolina. Guys like Marquis Anderson from there in the upstate was a huge pickup for us, and so thankful that he's part of our program. And then as the start that we're off to right now with the class of 2024 in the state of South Carolina is couldn't be better than what it is right now. So we're always going to start here, but we also have an unbelievable university to sell here to recruit to from an academic standpoint. City of Columbia is phenomenal, and the opportunity to play SEC football is a huge thing as well for so many young men. So we've got a lot of great things going on here at Carolina, which make us attractive to a lot of players. And we will still go into areas that have always been strong for South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina. But we've branched out into the Northeast a little bit more. And frankly, there's a lot of, you know, students here at the University of South Carolina from the Northeast, that part of the country, for kids that want to play SEC football. We're the closest SEC school to them. It's an easy ride down Interstate 95, and so many of these young men grew up, you know, driving through Columbia on their way to Florida or Hilton Head or wherever in the summertime for vacations. So there's a lot of natural ties, and we've been able to capitalize on that, and we'll continue to as well.
You know, Coach, we've had a lot of discussions on this show and other shows about the transfer portal. I'm curious, how does it change your approach to recruiting, does it change how you vet prospective players, knowing that the transfer portal is always a possibility?
It certainly starts in recruiting for us, making sure that we're recruiting, great young men into our program that come from, great families and that are about the right stuff and are choosing South Carolina for the right reasons and not anything beyond the opportunity to play SEC football, get a great education, and be a part of a really, really special culture. That's what the guys that we're looking for, guys that love football and love to compete and want to be a part of that. And but certainly the transfer portal is a factor right now. There's no question about it. And every school is impacted by it, by whether it be bringing players in or like we have, or losing some to the portal like we have as well. But the thing that we do is we try and start in recruiting with the type of people we're bringing into our program, continue to be the same people once they get here that we were in recruiting. Don't make false promises in recruiting that's going to come back and hurt you once they get to your program. What you see with us is what you get, and that's honesty. And then once guys get in here, we try and make it a great experience for them. And if somebody feels like this isn't the place for them and they have an opportunity elsewhere, then, wish them well and move on. But, we got a lot of great young men in our program, but it has changed it in the sense that it is a factor. And then you also realize that, every year you're probably going to lose some guys to the portal. And the portal is now available that, if you have an immediate need that you need some maturity and experience at immediately, the portal gives you an avenue to try and take advantage of that a little bit quicker.
Coach Shane Beamer, head coach of the University of South Carolina football team, here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. And Coach, I think kind of what you were alluding to there for just a second was culture, and one of the things that I have been very impressed by your time in Columbia has been developing the culture of the Gamecocks, instilling your vision of the culture in South Carolina. It has got the fans whipped up, at least here in the upstate. We've obviously seen players starting to buy in, and obviously I think your attitude kind of reflects in that. How important has it been for you to kind of instill your own vision of this culture, to grow the Gamecocks' excitement about that culture, about the program, and do you think that your success this season, especially late, is kind of a direct result of that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a direct result of the way that we've come together as a team. And it's harder and harder to do nowadays just because your roster turns over so much every single year. And used to, you just brought in, a high school signing class. Now it's a high school signing class and, quite a few transfers, some more than others, depending on the school. So it's a challenge every year because you're starting over in a lot of ways with a lot of new faces. I love that part of the job, trying to build the culture. But certainly the success that we've had the last two seasons and the success that we had down the stretch is a testament to the people in this program, the love and the care that they have for one another. We don't play like we do against Florida and then come back and do what we did against Tennessee and Clemson if we don't have something special going on in this program, and that's the people that we have in this program. So we take a lot of pride in that. And for us, it's just, one, I love coaching here. I love where I'm at. I'm passionate about this state. I'm passionate about this university and this city. And I'm passionate about being a Gamecock. And I think that it's not a job for me. And I think that shows in how we do things here in this program. And it's a program that we work really, really hard. We hold these guys accountable. It's very demanding. But we also want to make sure there's a lot of joy within this program as well. And I think you're seeing that.
Talk to me, Coach, a little bit. I remember back in the season, there was a little bit of a dust-up with another SEC coach who talked about the dancing and the glasses, but that, to me, has been something that genuinely shined about you and your time at South Carolina, the social media videos that have come out and all that, and it seems to be something that players both on your team and potential recruits have really attached themselves to and come to love about you. Just that loose goose having fun, but also taking football seriously. Where does that come from?
All right, hold on a second. You stole my question. You stole my question because I can't dance, and Shane Beamer can dance, and I've seen it, and I wanted to ask him,
so
how much does he charge an hour for choreography?
We'll stick with that question and ask, Coach, where did you pick up the moves?
Well, y'all are kind. I can't dance, but you guys are kind to say that. You're the first person that's ever told me that I could, so thank you. I appreciate that. But no, I think with me, it's you know, what you see is what you get. I'm gonna be me. One, I think sometimes you see guys become head coaches, particularly at a level like this, and there's a certain way that they feel like they have to act, and they're one way in front of the cameras, and they're another way behind the cameras, and I'm me. You know, if we're successful, it's going to be because of that, and if we're not successful, it's going to be because of that. I'm not going to try and change who I am, but I think it goes back to, we talk a lot about, you know, joy and positive energy, and that's me. This is a high pressure, volatile profession that I chose. It's highly demanding. I get it. If we don't win football games and graduate players, I get fired. I realize that. But I also realize how extremely blessed I am to be in this position and the opportunity that I have here at Carolina. So I'm going to have a whole lot of fun doing it as well. And we've got an amazing social media department that, you know, has some great ideas and does things like that. And you're right. You know, I'll probably, you know, we want to try and sell our program and market our program. And I've probably been even surprised a little bit more, to be honest with you, the impact that it has on prospects. I mean, we had an unbelievable group of prospects on our campus two Saturdays ago, and so many of them just came up to me, and they had like their screensaver, or they had a photo saved of me dancing in the locker room after Kentucky, or the Soulja Boy dance this
yes!
past summer, and things like that. You know, they had that on their phones, and even back in July when the Soulja Boy thing went out, you know, that thing posted on social media, and within 10 minutes, I probably had 20-plus text messages from recruits. And, you know, my kids like it, and if recruits like it, that's a good thing, too. So it's just me being me, and you know, some people love it, some people don't. But, you know, I'm going to try and do things the right way and have a lot of fun while I do it, too.
All right, I got one more follow-up, because I can't be completely serious, but I'm curious about this. Do you buy your own sunglasses, or are they provided to you?
They were provided. I do not have a pair of those sunglasses. Somebody gave them to me for the Soulja Boy video, and then somebody gave them to me to wear after the Kentucky game. So they were not mine. I think my kids took them. I think one of my daughters has them right now in her room, but they were not mine, though.
No. I was gonna say that'd have been a hell of a trip to the sunglass hut with Coach Beamer. Shane Beamer, head coach of the South Carolina Gamecock football program, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Let's talk for just a second, Coach, if you don't mind, about your new offensive coordinator, Dow Loggins. This is a hire, obviously, that you have called a number of times. This was your guy. This is the guy. Can you talk to us a little bit about what stood out about Dow Loggins that made him your guy? And I know he kind of runs that pro style offense. What was it that attracted that offense, or attracted you to that offense? And how do you think it fits with both the players you have on campus already and the ones that you were trying to bring in? Has switching that offense from Sat to Loggins changed the type of players you're looking at in the recruiting process?
That part first. No, not really. I mean, we're still looking for the same type guys, and you know, going back to, well, first of all, with us offensively, you know, we've done some good things offensively the last couple of years, but we've been way too inconsistent. We've turned the ball over way too many times. I mean, two straight years we've turned the ball over more than any team in the SEC, and that starts with me. But that's absolutely ridiculous to do 2 years in a row. So we've got to protect the ball better, and we've got to be more consistent game in, game out. We're not going to score 40 points every single game, but there's just got to be a consistency that we've got to be better at, and that starts with me as the head coach. And then in regards to Dow, he's somebody that I've known for a long time. I first met him when I was here as an assistant coach at South Carolina, and he was coaching with the Tennessee Titans, and I've got to know him on a personal level and have visited him with different NFL teams and watched him coach and know what kind of person he is and what he's about. He's been around some fantastic coaches. He's been around, you know, different types of quarterbacks at different levels in their career, whether it be rookies or whether it be veterans. And so many of those guys spoke highly of him. And I knew what a critical hire this was. So, I mean, I talked to a lot of people, players that he coached, like Alshon Jeffrey and Connor Shaw, and then coaches that he's coached with. And so many things came back that were positive about him. And then the thing that I like is he's, like I said, he's been around different types of quarterbacks in the NFL. He's been around different systems in the NFL, but then he's able to take what he saw in the NFL that was good, but then he's had 2 years at Arkansas in more of a college type RPO type offense. And, you know, I think that's great when you're a pro coach that goes to the college level. You see that sometimes these NFL coaches can overthink things and do too much. And it gets down to players. And the NFL is a matchup game. So I love the fact that he's able to take his time in the NFL and the systems he's been a part of. It's just all about matchups. And marry that with what they've done at Arkansas the last two seasons as well. So excited about that part of it. I've said it before. He had other SEC schools that were interested in him that were talking to him at the same time I was. So I'm fortunate that he chose to come to South Carolina. It was important for me to get somebody in here that had a history of working with quarterbacks, because certainly Spencer Rattler had a decision to make. And the hire for Dow wasn't just about this season. It's about long term. But, you know, I'm also not naive. I wanted Spencer Rattler to come back as our quarterback, and he needed to feel good about this, and he did and does. And then since Dow's been here, he's been fantastic. From a recruiting standpoint, he has been unbelievable. I think you're seeing that already, the impact he's had on the recruiting trail, and then with our players as well. I mean, we hired Dow and Juice Wells and Spencer and some other guys still had decisions to make, and they chose to stay. And it wasn't all because of Dow Loggins, but he had a lot to do with that too.
Shane Beamer is the head coach of the University of South Carolina Gamecock football program, coming off of his second year in charge of that program, an overall 8-5 season with huge wins over Tennessee and Clemson at the end of the year. Coach, man, it has been an absolute honor and privilege to have you on. I appreciate it. And hopefully, if you'll allow us, we'll get you back on maybe close to the spring game and run it back.
Yep, we'd love to. Appreciate you guys having me on, and hope all of you have a great week.
Fantastic. Coach, thank you very much. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Shane Beamer, head coach of the University of South Carolina Gamecock football program. There was actually, Zoe, only one question I did not get, because he had to get on the road, finish up recruiting before signing day tomorrow, and he kind of answered it in the middle there, but I wanted to expand on it, which was the relationship between coaching staff, administration, and that social media team, because you heard him say in the middle, he's like, look, the social media team takes that stuff, they turn it into content, that content gets the attention of recruits, etc. So we'll get Shane Beamer back on maybe closer to the spring game, get a chance to run that by him, especially after we get a look at the roster that develops as we head closer to that. Good interview.
Yeah, I'm going to have to find another choreographer, man. I thought I had it. Thought I was going to get him on the air to say yes, he would teach me.
Shane Beamer, Gamecock football coach, and hell of a dance instructor. Good stuff. Appreciate Shane. Appreciate Steve Fink over in the SID office for helping us set that up. And we'll get Shane O back on closer to the spring game. Let's take a break. We'll come back for hour number two after this on the Rob Brown Show. This is the Fan Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.